Morning. So good to be with you, beloved. And it wasn't just an eventful week for us, it was an eventful month. And when you hear your phone ring after midnight, something is going on. We got that call after midnight. My wife's father passed, what, a month ago? We had to get ready to travel to the Caribbean, which we don't mind doing. Always like going to the Caribbean, but we didn't want to go for that reason. It was a good time there, a celebration of a life well lived. But coming back home was the problem. We left on Wednesday, hoping to be home Wednesday evening. But we had to sleep in the airport Wednesday evening in Miami. But before we get to Miami, first time in my life, I was parked up there, not moving, for about an hour because there was a storm below and we couldn't land. So we circled and came back, and finally we landed. And then about three, four days after we got home, I start this excessive coughing, and I can't think of any other reason except the excessive coughing. And then the morning, Tuesday morning, I woke up, I was laboring for breath, went to my doctor. Doctor took x-rays and sent me to the hospital right away. My wife offered to drive me to the hospital. They said, no, you're going in an ambulance. First time again. Never been in an ambulance. And found I had a collapsed right lung. That was affecting my breathing, so we spent four days in the hospital, released on Thursday. And the first I'm trying out my voice since then publicly, so if it's not what it used to be, so you'd understand. We're still a little wobbly in the knees, but God is good. So good to be with you. What a joy it was for us this morning to remember our blessed Redeemer. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to talk about family today. Family. No, nothing is more being under attack today by the enemy as the family. No longer does the world believe in family as the Bible defines it, but they are making an effort to redefine the human family. And that's a problem. Because in their effort to redefine the human family, they have utterly disregarded what God has said. And in your response to them as, what is the family? You can't quote the Bible. Don't tell me what the Bible says. That's the first thing. I don't know what your experience is, but that's what I get. Not, don't tell me what the Bible says. You tell me what is love and what is this and what is that. But God has left us on record in His Word the family. And I'm not only going to talk about the human family, but I'm going to talk about the family of God. And if our family, your family, my family, is in the family of God. The Lord Jesus, in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, He spoke concerning the new birth. He explained to this learned man what spiritual birth is. Because at first, the man did not understand. Reading from verse 3 in John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify of the things which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? What Jesus was explaining to this man, this teacher, that the natural man, in his unregenerate state, cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. When the Lord Jesus spoke of the new birth, he was not speaking of the reformation of the old nature. So many things, that's it. Not the reformation of old nature, but you're speaking of a creative act of the Spirit of God, being born of the Spirit. We heard this morning about the family of God. And this is how you get into the family of God, through the new birth. The believer becomes a member of the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as their personal Savior and Lord. The Bible addresses spiritual birth and natural birth as well. And in Peter's epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's the natural birth. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's the word of God. But of incorruptible by the word of God. So the natural birth, we came through a corruptible seed. That seed is subject to decay, it's subject to disease. That seed would take on all the characteristics of the parents, especially the father. So is the new birth as well. It takes on the characteristic of God and of his word, which is eternal, which is incorruptible, which is everlasting. We have several examples which we would like to mention today concerning the earthly family. And we can see that earthly family, how that family can get into God's family, the family of God, by the new birth. You know, there are several portions of God's word, but I think when I think of the family, I think of the time of Paul and Silas in prison, if you remember that in Acts in chapter 16. And there was a family involved, an earthly family, and we have seen how that earthly family became a part of God's family, the spiritual family, the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, we look at the repentance of that family, because that's what it's about. We get into the family of God, we experience salvation through repentance. That's what Paul said to the Ephesian elders. It is repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 16 of Acts, you know the story very well, Paul and Silas in prison being released by the power of God, and this jailer, astonished, saw this miracle and couldn't handle it and was about to take his life. Verse 28, for the sake of time, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. For we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What must I do to be saved? He recognized his need. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." That hasn't changed. It is still the only way to get into God's family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus was telling Nicodemus this. There must be a new beginning. There must be a new birth. Because it's not about good works. It's not about being living a moral life. All those are good, but they're not good enough. The only reason you and I can get into the God's heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," that's the incorruptible word, that's the incorruptible seed, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." We are born into God's family. We are also adopted into the family. And there's a fine line between the new birth. I don't know if it's a fine line, but it's a difference between a new birth and adoption. Some people speak of them as one and the same. When you're born again, that's regeneration. And you receive the nature of a child of God. An adoption is placing you in the position of a son. Once you're born again, you also experience adoption as well, but you cannot be adopted before you are born. That's the point. Placing you in a position as a son. So repentance of sin, repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance of the family, this family must repent in order to be saved. But also there is the regeneration of this same family. if we continue our reading, verse 31 again, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So when the apostle says, thou shalt be saved and thy house, it doesn't mean that once you are saved, your whole household is saved as well. That's not what we're saying. You believe and your household believe and you all will be saved. And when they testified, when they spoke unto them, they spoke not unto the Philippian jailer, but they spoke also to his whole family. And there we have the regeneration of the family. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and rejoicing, here it is, believing in God with all his house. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born from above, born again through the incorruptible Word of God. In the book of Titus, speaking about the regeneration of the family, and regeneration is a new birth, it's new life, it's in Titus in chapter 3, it gives us a good description there of regeneration of the family. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes washing refers to the Spirit. A lot of times it refers to the Spirit of God. But at times it also refers to the Word of God. Born of water and of the Spirit could be the Word of God and the Spirit, or it could be even the washing, born again of the Word or water, even the Spirit. Whichever way you accept that. But the Word of God is involved, because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That's how you become a part of God's family. So we have, first of all, in this Philippian jailer's life, you have the repentance of his family, you have the regeneration of that family. And another family that we often think of in the Old Testament, it was the family of Joshua. Remember him? Joshua who challenged God's people. And even though he was a spokesman for his family, he was talking about his family and their resolution, their commitment, their determined purpose. He challenged God's people because they were wavering. They were going back and forth. And they were not steadfast as to trusting in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were going back and forth. And he said, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day, Joshua 24:15. Whom he will serve. Whether you want to serve the God back on the other side of the river. If you want to go back to the gods of Egypt. If you want to go back to the pagan gods. You make a choice. But as for me and my house. He was speaking on behalf of his family. This is the resolution of this man's family. his determined purpose, they all agreed. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. So here's an earthly family making a decision, a determined purpose. That whatever happens, whatever the world thinks, we have decided that we will serve the Lord. The earthly family making their choice to be part of God's family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, resolution of the family. Verses 4 and 5 says, concerning the family and the decisions of the family. Not given to wine, that's leadership here in the house, because if you're not a good leader in the house, you cannot be a good leader in God's family, the assembly. It says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, living, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So, being in the family of God requires leadership on the behalf of those fathers and those who aspire to be leaders in the assembly. As for me and my house, we are together. We are on the same page, if you will. We are together in this. The decisions that we make, we are together. So the repentance of the family, the regeneration of the family, the resolution of this family, and next is the restoration of the family. And things happen during our earthly sojourn. The family gets fragmented at times. There is separation for one reason or another. And it's always a good thing when the family is restored or reunited. And this comes out in the story that the Lord Jesus told of the prodigal. We call this story the story of the prodigal son. And here we see not so much the repentance or regeneration or the resolution of the family, but we see the restoration of a family. For the family had been fragmented. One boy get up and says, I no longer want to be here. I want to leave. And for years, he had gone away. For years he had strayed. For years he was in a strange country. And the family was divided, was fragmented. It was not whole at that point. But you know, he came to himself, the Bible says. So what am I doing here? And he always refer back home to his father. My father, my father, my father. Meaning he was still a part of that family. But he had caused a rift in the family. He had caused the family to be divided. So one day he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. No, he was already a son. And as a son, you always belong to the family. You might be strange, you might be far away, but you're still a son. There are times when you and I, we have gone astray, you and I, we have forsaken the Lord for whatever reason. We find ourselves in a strange place, and we realize that we are not home. This is not home. This is not where we belong. And we make that conscious effort because we have been convicted by the Spirit of God that we need to return. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. That's repentance. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon us and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon us. So he decided to go home. And the picture is beautiful because it speaks of the restoration of the family. Verse 18 of chapter 15 of Luke, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and so on. You notice, beloved, that he arose. He didn't stay where he was. And no true believer is going to stay in the mire. No true believer. Excuse me. We've been born into the family of God. He's going to stay out there in the wild. There comes a time when you recognize that this is not where you ought to be. He arose and he went to his father. And always, beloved, we always hear about restoration, but people don't say too much about repentance. You know, you can just get up and you've been away from the assembly for 2 years and you take your place. You're not accountable to anyone. You can just come and take your place and you're responsible. You say, I have to restore him. No, first of all, he must be restored to the Lord. The man went and he didn't ask for changes in the home. So many want to do that. We want to make changes. Because where I left in the first place, I didn't like how things were going. Unless you change, I'm not coming. That's not the point. The restoration of the family. The Lord says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what he did. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am not worthy. The father received him. He commanded his servants to bring the fatted calf. But verse 24 is important. He commanded his servants to bring the fatted calf. For said, this my son was dead. You see, when I think of death, I think of separation. Separation. He was separated from the family. This my son, he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The family is restored. The family is whole again. His older brother did not quite get this. He thought once he had left, he's no longer part of our family. He no longer belongs in this place. He's gone out and I can soon forget him. And so when he found out what was going on, this great party that was going on for the son coming back home, he said to his father, after his father came out to talk to him, he said, "This is your son. He's nothing to me. I've been with you all this time and now your son. Your son who had devoured your living with harlots, you were receiving him and you killed for him the fatted calf." His father said, "Yes, he is my son, but your brother, he's still part of the family. Your brother, I receive him sound back home. He is still part of this family. It was the right thing to do. It was fitting for us to make merry, to have a celebration, because the family is whole again. It's whole again. Yes, he is my son, but also he is still your brother." Oh, beloved, we sing that song sometimes. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. There are rewards for the godly family. That family that is part of the family of God." We think of Timothy, and we think of the rewards of a godly family. Not only have the restoration of the family, but we have the rewards of a godly family. The Apostle Paul can write to this younger man, Timothy. He says, "You know, I know your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I have found in them genuine faith. And I am persuaded that this faith is also in thee. What rewards, beloved, are there for those of us who have been faithful in bringing up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Here is now the aged apostle ready to depart, and he's like, as it were, putting his hand on this man and saying, 'I'm passing the mantle on to you because you have demonstrated genuine faith. The same that was in your mother and in your grandmother as well.'" The rewards of a godly family. Now you look at your son growing up, taking his place in the assembly, leading the people of God in worship and service. And you look back and you thank the Lord. There are rewards for the godly family. And Paul tells Timothy he needs to be an example. An example to the believers as well. There are rewards, beloved, for we do not serve the Lord for naught. I think it was the psalmist who said, "The lines are falling unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage." What a heritage Timothy had. Paul can write to him and says, "You need to give attention to these things, to pay attention to the things that you have learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that as from a child." He wasn't speaking of himself, he was speaking of the boy's mother and grandmother. He didn't know him as a child. "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The rewards of a godly family. I think I can just cite one more. This one is the remedy for an ungodly family. This is in Luke chapter 16. It's the remedy for the ungodly family. Here's this rich man who fared sumptuously every day, but God was not a part of his daily life. And there was a beggar also who came by, and he would fain fill his belly with the husk, with the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And the beggar died, and also the rich man also died. And then in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He didn't like where he was. And he asked Abraham to send over Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in some water and cool his tongue, because he was tormented. And can't happen. There's no going from here to there. There's a great chasm between. There's no passing from one to the other. Then he said, well, I have five brethren. Send him that he might warn them, lest they come to this place of torment. He didn't want his family to experience what he was experiencing. You know, but Abraham said, it's in Luke 16, if you want to. He says they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded, though one went back from the dead. You see, beloved, we have God's message that's given to God's people for the preaching to the unsaved. And that's the message by which you are saved. That's what Paul says, Corinthians, this is the message I preached unto you, the message by which you are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the message. Jesus has told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're not waiting for some miracle from the dead. And they will not be persuaded, though one returns from the dead. Because I know one who came back from the dead, and people still don't believe. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. It was he who has commissioned us. He has saved us. He has reconciled us. And the Bible says he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And our responsibility, not the dead, our responsibility is to persuade men on the behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. If they don't hear the message, that's the remedy for the ungodly family. And if they don't pay heed to that message, they too will find themselves lost without God and without Christ in a long and a painful and a dark eternity. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard. You got to hear. That's how people are saved. You gotta hear. In some way, the Word of God must be involved. That incorruptible seed must be involved in the transformation, in the regeneration of the soul. Must be. In whom we also be trusted after ye heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The remedy for the ungodly family is not a demonstration, it's not a carnival. It is not a puppet on a string. It is still the incorruptible seed of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Timothy, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. For that's the remedy for this giddy world today. The remedy for the ungodly family is to trust in Christ, to listen to His Word, to believe what Christ has said and done, and trust Him as their personal Savior and Lord. We have another point, but we don't have the time. That's the longest one yet. So the responsibility for the family. One verse in closing. Elisha asked that Shunammite woman, talking about responsibility for the family, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Just that one thought I leave with you as we think of the responsibility to the family. God bless His Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer and the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming His death until He comes. Thank you, Father, for giving us Thy Word and reminding us that in order to be part of the family of God, we must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of the Word, born of the incorruptible seed of the Word. We ask Thy blessing and Thy Word to the hearts of Thy people. Be with us and guide us and watch over us as we part the one from the other. Lord, take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. May we see our responsibility for the rest of our family as well. We pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.